in the Sermon on the Mount and this morning's message, Jesus tells us about our treasures. And so Matthew chapter 6, continuing in verse 19 this morning. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Hold on for that verse. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, has been the theme of Jesus' sermon to these believers as a means of spiritual discipline. Now, in our verses this morning, Jesus comes back to the spiritual discipline of giving. And all of us say amen, right? Yeah, right. So let's dive into it. The word treasure that Jesus uses in this passage, it means that which you value, that which is important to you. How would anybody know that you treasure something? Jesus says in this sermon, if you treasure God, the Bible says the areas of your life will be evident and you will give money. Now, if you're here for the first time, we don't preach on money all the time. We preach what the Bible says when the Bible says it. And this morning, the Bible talks about giving to the believer. I don't actually like talking about giving. Not because it convicts me. I love to give. But for most people that I counsel, talking about giving seems to be the thing that they tell me, you stay away from that, Pastor. Don't you dare ask me if I give. We could talk about my sexual sin. We could talk about my addictions to this and that. But don't talk about giving. That freaks people out. Well, sorry, Jesus is going to talk about it. So I'm just going to share. I don't like talking about it. People want counsel about many things, but they don't want counsel about giving. This morning, as we have in other passages, Jesus is going to talk about it, specifically to the believer, the one who says, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Anybody besides that, I'll talk to you in a little bit. For a long time, I would never give my money to the church. My heart was cold to giving. I didn't think they needed it or should have it. I made excuses about having kids, having bills. I wanted this, I wanted that. I had plenty of excuses not to give any money to the church. And for 26 years, that held true. Praise the Lord. And then something changed. Jesus saved me. On November 2nd, 2001, my gratitude for Jesus dying on the cross and taking my sin away led me to want to give. 2 Corinthians, by the way, tells us about this mindset that changes when you get saved, or it should. Paul writes, each one should give, must give, as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Listen, as a caveat, this sermon by Jesus is not to guilt us into giving. The purpose of his sermon is to get to our hearts and challenge the believer, what is genuinely our treasure? What do we really value as Christians? Christ followers. And Jesus says our giving of money shows us where our hearts are. I'm sorry, that's what it says. Jesus wants us to know where our hearts are, those of us who say Jesus is our Lord and Savior. By the way, he already knows. This is for our sake. He knows where your heart is. But I will say this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you don't give money, not your time, not your talents, but a portion of what God gives you, whatever you think that is, by the way, he doesn't tell us. The Old Testament talks about tithing. The New Testament just talks about cheerfully giving for the believer. But the point is this. Give something. Start somewhere. Be faithful to what Jesus is calling us to do. This is a spiritual discipline. No different than if you're addicted to alcohol, you don't drink alcohol. If you're addicted to sexual sin, you don't look at pornography. There are spiritual disciplines that help the Christ follower grow closer to Christ. And Jesus says giving is one of those things. It doesn't say, by the way, if you're a young adult here, it doesn't say, well, I don't have to give, right? That's for older people. It doesn't say if you have kids, you know, because they're expensive. The prerequisite to why we give is if you're a believer. That's it. The only prerequisite to whether you should give as a spiritual discipline is if you think or believe, I should say, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So you could be five. And believe it or not, there are five-year-olds that put their little change in that little box in the back. It's crazy to me. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your money is not going to buy you into heaven. The Bible teaches that we are to give from gratitude for our saving faith. a saving faith that you did not earn. And we see our money as a stewardship ready to be used for God's kingdom. So, with that introduction, let's dive into our passage. For the sanctification of a follower of Jesus Christ here this morning, I want us to consider this question as we listen to Jesus sermonize to tell us what it means to be a follower of Christ on earth. So here's the question I want us to consider. Why is giving a spiritual discipline? Well, here's the first thing. Number one, it reminds us to put Jesus first. Now, this isn't in our passage, but the context of of Matthew 6, specifically from the start of this verse all the way to the end of the chapter, the key verse is actually Matthew 6, 33. That entails both what we're going to talk about this week, which is giving, and what we're going to talk about next week, which is anxiety. Why we have fear, why we have anxiety in our life. The key verse for both these texts is found in verse 33. So, why is giving a spiritual discipline to a follower of Christ? Number one, it reminds me to put Jesus first. Look at verse 33. Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," things that you have, even the clothes, the food, all the stuff, all these things will be added to you. So this is the key verse for this week and next week. So what does this verse mean? Well, the kingdom of God, that is, by the way, the whole emphasis of this sermon. To understand the kingdom of God is to understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead. When you believe that, he comes into your life and sets up residence through the work of the Holy Spirit to give the world that we live in a little piece of heaven by the way we live and who we're pointing people to. So when Jesus says to bring the kingdom of God, what he's saying is the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the lives of people. Seek that. Not only in your own life by living for him, but also for people that don't know him that need a little piece of heaven on earth. It's found in him. It's found in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, that's the gospel, knowledge of salvation, knowledge of living for Christ, and his righteousness. So what am I reminding to put first? That the gospel is primary, and I want to live by the character of Jesus Christ. So his righteousness is knowing everything we can know about Jesus and wanting to live like him. We are to seek first the gospel spreading and living like Jesus. That's what we seek first. The word seeking there, it literally means the object of my pursuit. You are seeking the gospel. If you are already saved, you're seeking the gospel to give you power in your life so that you can look more like Jesus. Make sense? Seek first. Above all else, that's what it means. There's nothing more important to a follower of Christ than living as a follower of Christ in a dark and tasteless world so that we could point more people to Jesus. All these things will be added. Again, it's preceding the verses that Jesus was saying before, which is what you have in your money, and then also what you have in food, shelter, clothing, all those different things. We'll talk about that next week. So we have to understand this verse even before we get into the context of our verses, because Jesus is reminding the follower of Christ that he has to be first. You say he's first in your salvation, but is he first in your day-to-day living? That's why spiritual discipline is important. Because oftentimes, can I get an amen, that we struggle. We struggle. So we need to be working out with spiritual disciplines to keep us close to Jesus, the one who saved us. That's why we have spiritual disciplines. By the way, a lack of giving always is a window into your heart. It's also, by next week we'll talk about it, it's actually a window into why you're so anxious. Did you know that? As a follower of Christ, we can struggle with anxiety. Amen? But what Jesus is correlating is the anxiety comes from your lack of giving. Our giving shows what we prioritize. Our giving gives us a window into ourselves. Our lack of giving shows where our hearts are. It actually exposes what we fear. We fear what people think. We fear about what we don't have or what someone else has. And it leads to anxiety and a testimony that is not pointing to Christ. So Paul actually sums up this understanding in his letter to Timothy. Look at this in 1 Timothy. He said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of this world. But if we have food and clothing," see, when you're seeking Christ, it seems like the things we have get prioritized. If we have food and clothing, with these we can be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations. This is to a believer. Into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. What does that mean? Do you lose your salvation? No. You just lose your testimony that Jesus is better than what the world offers. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through it, it's craving, that some have wandered away from the faith, testimony, and pierced themselves with many pangs. The idea is when money takes over, anxiety comes in. How are we going to do this? How are we going to afford this? Arguments, fights. Listen, we can say we are thankful for our salvation, but our giving reflects it. Why is giving a spiritual discipline? Because it reminds us to put Jesus first. Okay, now let's get into our passage. Number two, it reminds us to lay up our treasures in heaven. Look at verses 19 through 20, 21 again. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So how, Christian, follower of Christ, how do we turn our addiction to earthly treasure into a passion for heavenly treasure? Well, we have to understand the context here. So the Jews saw rich people as somehow that they were closer to God because God blessed them. So they must be closer to God because they're rich. And you poor people that don't have as much as rich people, you must be in sin. There must be something wrong with you because you're not rich. That was the Jewish understanding. Jesus absolutely flips the script. Jesus flips the script on both the rich and the poor, that both are spiritually undisciplined. And actually, what he'll say is the rich have the hardest time coming to Christ or walking with Christ because they're absolutely so enthralled in what they have. Look at Luke 18. Listen to what Jesus says. Again, flipping the strip on what the Jews thought rich people were as opposed to someone who didn't have as much. Jesus says, and a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." When he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven." Does this mean that rich people can't go to heaven? No. The point he is making is that rich people struggle more with seeking him first. And for some that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they think they could buy their way into heaven. Often those who want a lot struggle the most. Why should we lay up treasures in heaven? Look at verses 19 through 21 again. He says, "Do not lay up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." What is Jesus saying? Here are the three beneficiaries of your earthly wealth, of my earthly wealth, everything that I have. He says, here's your benefit. He doesn't mean you don't have to have nice things. You can have nice things. But here's the point he's going to make. They are not coming with you. Remember the old, "There's no U-Hauls in heaven"? That's the point. Why put everything in what you have on earth when you can't bring it with you anyway? The issue is our hearts, Christ follower. Man, if I was rich and I won the Powerball, then I'd give. You live in America. You won the Powerball. Do you get that? The problem is not what we have. It's what has us. Follower of Christ. How about this? God, give me opportunities to share the gospel with whatever I have. Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." What are earthly treasures? People. People. People go to heaven. Things don't come with. People. No U-Hauls, just people. This is why the church is a place you should give. Because the focus in the church is people. Children, right now, are being taught by teachers with a curriculum that was bought by the people who give. They're in buildings and renting, or they're in classrooms that are rented by money that people give. They teach children the gospel. You parents that sent your kids in there, you want them to hear the gospel, right? Because they matter. You give to the church to support missionaries that you may never go to countries that you'll ever be in. For example, at High Point, we support missionaries in China, in Brazil, in Africa, just to name a few. You ever been there? I haven't. But a part of what God has given me goes to them so that the kingdom of God expands. When you give to the church, you are giving to them. Alpha Women's Center, so that women can hear the gospel as they're contemplating whether to abort their babies. When you give to them. Nan Veach, who shares the gospel with kids in FCA, when you give to High Point Church, you're giving to her to share the gospel. These are the treasures, the people. And don't ever forget that. Every time you drop off your child, know that your giving is going to them. Hearing the gospel. Everything the church does points people to Jesus. When you give to the church, it goes to helping people grow closer to Jesus. We do marriage retreats, counseling, training, all of these things. Why? So that we can be closer to Jesus, because we forget. Amen? So look again at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the reason the Pharisees, who by the way gave, still didn't have it right, is they didn't treasure God and his people. Because the treasure is people. And they were spiritually blind. Their heart followed what they really treasured. Man's approval. Earthly approval. Earthly treasure. Follower of Jesus Christ, we ought to invest our money into people for the gospel's sake. The third one. Not only reminds me to put Jesus first, it reminds me to lay up my treasures in heaven. And number three, it gets our eyes on a bigger prize. Look at verses 22 through 24 again. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great a darkness. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The eye is an important organ. It is, in the Bible, it talks about perception, basically. In other words, what is guiding you? Now, the overall thing is the heart, but what God is saying is, that which you look at often dictates that which you serve. And when we go home, you're going to have a lot of things to look at. Amen? If we focus our vision on what the world calls success, that will be the perception of how we live. Does that make sense? If our vision is always earthly, then our walk will always be earthly and weak and not close to God. What you look at dictates how healthy you will be. Do you look at Jesus with the same passion that you do for your money? Do you look at your 401k, if you have one, more intently than you do the Word of God? You want to be closer to Jesus because you've been saved by Jesus Christ. Jesus then wants you to focus your eyes on the bigger prize, and that is the people around you. Getting closer to Jesus. You can't look in two directions. You can't even look at someone and side-eye your money. Jesus says you will intently look at one or you will intently look at the other. This, to the believer of Christ, is a heart check. And your giving shows you. So what do we do? Well, let's get to the applications and we can get the heck out of here and not have to hear this anymore. Amen? Problem is, you know what? God's word, Jesus, talks about giving a lot. He actually talks a lot about more of that, more about giving for the believer in Christ than he does about any other subject. So we're going to talk about it again. Why? Because it's a spiritual discipline. And for all the people that started working out that quit already, my wife got me a heavy bag to start, you know, working out. I worked out for a good week or two. And then I got lazy. I got my eyes off other things. Every time you come to church, it's an opportunity to look into your heart. Do you give? And again, I'm talking to the believer, not the unbeliever. You cannot buy your way into heaven. This is for the believer. So here's our application. Number one, test God. I am telling you, you can test God in your giving. If you are here and you're thinking, man, this is a tough one for me. I can tell you out of personal thing. For 26 years, me and Laura almost got a, I don't even know if we were married when we were in Chicago. Were we married when we got in that huge fight? Well, we got in a huge fight. I don't know if we were married or not married. Either way, it could have led to some bad places, probably not High Point Church. But we were at a church in Chicago, and they were going around and passing a plate. And I looked at them like, I ain't giving you diddly squat. But my wife was a believer. And she looked at me like, dude, are you going to put something in it? And I'm like, no. That's my money. I earned it. I worked for it. Look at this big cathedral. They don't need my money. Boy, we had an argument. You know, it's one of the reasons why when I planted this church in my home, I said we will never pass a plate. If you want to give, it's because you're a believer in Christ and you feel like absolutely that's what God has called you to do because you're a believer. And so there's a box in the back that you wouldn't even know unless you asked. But I don't want anybody to ever come to High Point Church to think that they can buy their way into heaven. You give because you feel that God has absolutely given you so much that you give back. But the first application is, listen, I had to learn when I got saved to give. And I was so thankful to give. I was at Sailorville Church, and I just was like, back in the day, we used to write checks. I miss those days. It was a great form of worship for me on Sunday morning. And I didn't care that I didn't have the newest car or the monthly payment of this that I could have had. I wanted to give to a ministry that was sharing the gospel because it was the ministry that I got saved through. So I would write checks. Malachi 3:10 says this: bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Test God. This is the one thing he says you can test him in. And I could tell you, out of personal experience, I have been faithfully giving for the last, well, since I got saved when I'm 26 and I'm 30. So almost 25 years of faithfully giving every single week and sometimes in between. Not for self-promotion, but as a spiritual discipline. And I could tell you, I have never, our family has never needed anything. We have food. We have water. We have heat. We have clothes. What else do you need? Test God. Maybe for some of you, you're like, I have never given. Maybe you're a high schooler. Maybe you're a young adult and you're thinking, well, I'll wait till I'm in my 30s. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you want to be spiritually disciplined, start giving. And watch God do amazing things in your walk with him. Yes, I can literally say that, and it's true. Because Jesus says it. What's the other thing? Not only test God in our giving, why don't we start testing ourselves daily? What does that mean? Well, we need practice, don't we? This week, I'm going to challenge all of us. This week, maybe even today, if you go to a coffee shop, if you go to a grocery store, if you go to anywhere, if you struggle with giving, I want you to practice. Buy somebody's coffee. Buy somebody's groceries. And when they say, what? What are you doing? Just say, God has blessed me, and I want to bless you. Don't worry about what they look like. Don't worry about whether they need it or don't need it. You just practice giving. And I promise you, the Bible is true when Jesus said, it is better to give than it is to receive. But then I would say this. If you call High Point Church your home, you are a follower of Jesus Christ, will you consider starting to give to your local church? Give sacrificially, give faithfully. We have blessed people with groceries and rent and mortgages and tires, and all these different things that people have needed, and what you've given, those of you who have given, we have blessed people that are in need. And so if you're thinking, man, I don't know if I know these anybody, when you give to the church, know that you are giving to people in need. That's what the church is for. Our mission is to expand his kingdom. And we do that by helping people get closer to Jesus. We need to consider daily how we're giving. I've been reading recently in Haggai, and this is it, I promise. But look at Haggai, the prophet. He says this: thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He's telling the believer, go up into the hills and bring your wood, build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, saying to the Lord, you looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Because of my house that lies in ruin, while each of you busies himself with his own house. What's the point? What's Haggai saying? He's saying, now, there is a physical location called a temple that they were to build. And the purpose of building that temple is so that everyone knew where to go to meet God. And instead of building that temple, they built their own houses. But I would apply this in a believer's life. The temple of the Holy Spirit now resides in the believer. And some of you are not taking care of your temple. You're taking care of the earthly things, and God wants to take care of the spiritual things. So give. Those of you who are here who do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I say it again. I plead with you. You will not buy your way into heaven. There is no amount of money you can do to earn salvation. You must put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He died for your sins. He has given you eternal life so that you can have a hope that is not on this world. So that you can be a citizen of heaven with a temporary passport. Put your faith and trust in Christ and give then out of gratitude. It's much better that way. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, you know in my heart I sweated during this sermon, not out of conviction, but because it offends. And I shouldn't be ashamed, Lord. I know it. I shouldn't be ashamed of preaching the word. And yet, Lord, I know that there are people that struggle. And I did for 26 years. And Lord, I'm praying for a revival of spiritual discipline in praying, in fasting, in witnessing, and in giving. That people would notice there's something different about the church in Altoona, the people that know you as Lord and Savior, that you would get all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Let's sing a final song.